Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. I am very excited about having Don Lambro back on the show. Don's an old friend of ours and one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times, syndicated columnist. Many of you see him in the dozens and dozens of newspapers that his column is syndicated in across the country. You read his wisdom every week and a couple of times a week sometimes. And he's also the author of a book that's now out of print, but you can still get it on Amazon, I think, is a used book. It's called Fat City, and it was one of President Reagan's favorite books, and he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Good. Hello there. It's good to have you back. And Don, let's get right into the news. On the cover story for Washington Times today is about immigration, isn't it?
It is.
What? Tell us about it.
Well, the headline it reads, it's the lead story across the top of our Washington Times front page, Immigrants Fuel Economic Growth. Pool of workers fills gap left by declining U.S. birth rates. And in a nutshell, it's as we have these demonstrations today by immigrants who are taking off from their jobs, many of them, immigrant labor, legal and illegal. They've been the important force that's propelling the U.S. economic growth for years. We have declining birth rates and declining increases in the number of people, workers in this country, and that's going to accelerate in the coming years as the baby boomers begin retiring. And who is going to fill in that gap for those jobs and keep the engine of the American economy fueled and running? So immigrants are going to be filling that as they always have in the history of our country.
Well, I want to address that just a minute for just a minute before we get into this. The today, by the way, folks, is going to be the demonstrations that are called A Day Without Immigrants. But Don, one of the things that I never see reporters cover, and they really ought to be paying more attention to this, and that's the generational waves. As you correctly pointed out, the baby boomers are heading toward retirement, and there are about 80 million of them. The generation right behind the baby boomers are the Gen Xers, and there are about 30 to 50 million of them. So yeah, there are a lot fewer of that group. My children are in that group, are primarily in the Gen X group, and on the trailing edge, so to speak. And so there are fewer of them, but there's another generation coming behind them that's called the Gen Y generation, or the Echo Boomers, sometimes they're called. And our generational experts on the Brain Trust tell us that generation, but before people are through having babies in that generation, could be as many as 100 million people. So the truth is that the declining birth rate has picked up. It's not declining as much anymore. But here's the question, Don. It's not a matter of whether that generation will replace the baby boomers. It's what will they be doing? Will any of them want to do the jobs that the immigrants are doing? To me, that's the issue. Not whether there's a replacement, but what do Americans want to do for a living?
Well, that is a big issue, and I totally agree with you, although I think a lot of those static numbers are going to rise and fall in the future. It's a lot of these predictions of higher rates are done by static analysis. That's the same problem when we apply that to taxes and growth as we
but,
do it.
But now, Don, these people, many of these people are already on Earth. They're already here.
Oh, that's right. I'm just saying what happens is as people climb the economic ladder, here's where you break down the static analysis,
right,
which often doesn't prove true, is that as they climb the economic ladder, they have fewer children.
Right.
And we see see that in some of the immigrants who've been here for some time and in the younger ones, and we will see it in the future. So that is going to be working. But the question is, what kind of jobs will they be doing? And one of the core issues in this whole debate is that the immigrants who come here from third world countries, they're the ones who are digging the trenches, laying the broadband cable, the fiber optic cable. They're the ones who are fueling our agriculture industry in picking the crops in the fields and putting in the roofs. And the manual labor that the graduates from high school and even many, if not most of the dropouts from high school, don't want to do.
Right.
And this economy now is at $12 trillion, $13 trillion and climbing. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to need more workers to keep up that level, and that's where immigrants come into play.
Well said, Don. Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen, he's our good friend, smart guy. He and I will be right back after these messages. When we come back, I want to talk to Don about how America is just now experiencing what many other countries have been experiencing for years. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Don Lambro, the Chief Political Reporter for the Washington Times. And my website, by the way, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things like my blog. Hope you'll check it out, too. You can subscribe to it as well. All that's free, the archives, the articles, all the things that you find there, except for our books. We ask you to pay for those. Everything else is free thanks to our corporate partners, and that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can go back and find the wisdom that Don Lambro has deposited with us over the years as well on our site, too. Right there in his name under the one place you can find it is this week is in the blog. Don, I have, as you probably have, I've traveled to other countries, and including the Middle East. And if it weren't for the what they call the expatriates, the people who are from other countries, who come to Saudi Arabia, who come to Bahrain and Qatar and UAE and Kuwait, if it weren't for those people who came there from the Philippines and from Afghanistan and from India, et cetera, and from America, for that matter, for Europe. If it weren't for those people, the Middle East would shut down.
Well, that's true. Of course, the Middle East has lots of problems, as everyone knows.
The residents of those countries, the Middle Eastern countries, they don't do the work at all. They don't do any labor, no physical work at all.
Right. That's right. And so they're looking for workers. We're in a global economy where there's a front page story on the Washington Post about Japan having a new problem with its population, which they allow no immigrants, and you have declining birth rates, but this is about that even those few who are having children, one or two, they can't find doctors. There's a doctor shortage there. But, of course, Japan has solved that problem by going around the world and opening up plants in the countries where it is trading to, and that helps the countries where it has opened the plants. And the United States is a beneficiary of that. Toyota plants are opening up all around the country. Americans
right.
are building cars.
Well, Nissan's been here for years. Honda's building plants across the South. And, yeah, there's lots of that going on.
And those provide great jobs, mm-hmm. good-paying jobs for Americans. So it's not outsourcing. It's outsourcing and insourcing. And they can, and we're doing the same thing, of course, and the American people benefit from that by having competitive prices at Walmart. And the people who say we shouldn't be trading, well, you know, those are the pundits who are making millions of dollars. They don't have to worry about
right.
what does a pair of sneakers cost or a lunchbox
right.
or corduroys for their kids.
Well, you know, Don, this thing about immigration, though, especially with Hispanics, because that's where, you know, let's face it, that's where the majority of the immigration issue is now. It's Mexicans coming across the border, primarily Mexicans coming across the border on the border states, and there are now it's estimated 12 million immigrants. Don, these people come across the border to work. Most of them, the vast majority, the large majority, probably in the, obviously, in the, I think probably in the 90 percentile, these people are wanting to work. They want to do something. They want to make money. And if there weren't jobs available to them, if there weren't people who were willing to hire them and pay them a paycheck, they wouldn't be coming over here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what.
So there is a demand, isn't there?
There is. The marketplace works. So when they know a country, there are no jobs there. You don't see them going back to Mexico because they can't find jobs. So it's a desperation. I think Newt Gingrich is talking about this, and he says, this is a difficult problem, and we have to fix it, and we have to harness it. But he says, you can't but feel sorry for people who are just desperate, and they're looking for a job, and they're not finding it in their own country. And of course, a big solution to that is the dismal failure of the Mexican government to deregulate its economy and make it a thriving, job-producing economy, as other former third-world countries did.
I'm very disappointed in President Fox. And you know, I saw a report not long ago that showed that investment in Mexico, the investment that Mexico has had, the capital investment that they've received in the last 10 years or so, that they converted that into opportunity at rates below many African countries, many sub-Saharan African countries.
Yeah.
That their inability to convert capital investment into opportunity has been just awful. But one of the things we have to do, Don, is we have an elephant in the living room, and it's 12 million immigrants. We have to deal with those people in reality, don't we? I mean, we can't just act like they're not here.
We can. We're not going to go, you know, door to door and deport them all. Hundreds of thousands are being sent back in the border areas, and we're beefing that up. We have to beef it up. We're going to. We are doing that, and that's what the House bill would do. But the Senate bill, which shows the bifurcation here of the American people and the country on this issue, says, well, we've got to do more. We do need those workers, as we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, and we have to find a channel through which we can give them a card that they can come in and take a job here that is waiting for them. And they have to meet certain requirements, but we need those workers. So we've got to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the Senate bill, which will be passed, I believe, goes into conference of the House, they're going to negotiate those differences, and we're going to get a bill that's going to do both.
Well, I hope that the bill that they come up with and the reaction and the what results from that is more effective than the way the politicians are dealing with gas prices and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which are two things we're going to talk about in a minute that I believe nothing else but feckless can be applied to the way the politicians are behaving on those two issues. We're going to be right back with Don Lambro. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro. Don, give us your website, please.
I'm sorry, can you ask that again?
Your website, please.
Oh, website, www.washingtontimes.com.
Check it out, and they can find you there if you're not right on the front page, then they can, I'm sure they can just search for Lambro, LA.
Today, my column is on the commentary page, and there's a story about politics and the issues in the various states around the country.
All right, so check that out, folks. It's Lambro, Donald Lambro. Don, a couple of quick things as we wrap up the hour. I can remember times when I've been more disappointed in our politicians. I have been, I'm sure, but I can't remember when. Their reaction to gas prices. I mean, it's so embarrassing to see them say, we'll just send everybody a $100 check. How stupid is that? That just blows me away that they would come up with an idea like that. Do they have that little respect for our intelligence, Don, you think?
Well, you know, when you have these issues and they're complicated, lawmakers tend to want to reduce it to a soundbite. And solutions reduced to a soundbite, sometimes they can be the right ones, but very often they are just demagoguing and playing to a particular disgruntled group of Americans who are, and for gas prices, they have every reason to be disgruntled. I'm paying it too. But it's a complicated issue, counter.
Well, Don, but when they do what they're doing now, to me, it's a lack of leadership. It doesn't cause me to take them seriously. And then here's the other issue. Now some of them are wanting to abolish FEMA. In other words, they actually are saying that FEMA is so broken, it's so messed up, it's so irretrievably broken that we can't fix it. We have to scrap it and start all over again. Well, that to me, that tells me two things about our politicians. Number one, it tells me they don't know how to fix anything. So if they can't fix what they already created, why would we think that they can create something new that's better? And number two, based on that evaluation of FEMA, we could apply that to Congress. So why don't we just abolish Congress?
Well, there's a bunch of committees there. Maybe we ought to abolish.
Seriously, I mean,
you're right. They don't. You know, that's not in the cards. And that's what you do is you go into an organization. You say, well, what's wrong, and how do we repair it, reform it, overhaul it, fix it? You're absolutely right. And of course, in the private sector, that's what they do. They take a company. They say, okay, what do we need to do?
We need new leadership.
Costs. We need product development. We need this. We need that. So if that's not in the cards, that they're going to abolish FEMA. What they need to do is look at where the weaknesses are and repair those. And a lot of these congressmen, quite frankly, you know, with hundreds, thousands of agencies, they haven't got a clue, and they don't know. They haven't studied it, and they haven't focused on it. And they're thinking of the next election.
That's exactly right. That's to me. That's what this is all about. Is they're saying, okay, we're so frightened of that we're going to lose that we'll say anything to pander to the lowest common denominator, and it just when you think maybe we've got grown ups in Washington D.C., then they say something like that.
You know, this is basically in a number of articles written. It's a problem of supply and demand. Sometimes it's hard. Most Americans, I think, understand that. But, you know, if you just said suddenly you had a drop in the supply of sneakers, the cost of sneakers would be huge.
That's right.
Few people could afford them. And the supply of gasoline has gone down because of huge demand. Last year, if you recall, it was rising to 240, 250, 260. And then suddenly it dropped late last year because the marketplace where people were driving less. They got too much and then they bought a little less gasoline and they cut back on their driving. And guess what? Inventories rose and the price fell as demand fell. So that's what's going to happen here. But it's a more complicated problem. We need to find more oil and alternative sources. And there's a mm-hmm. lot of it on the Outer Continental Shelf and in the Gulf.
And in Alaska.
And in Anwar.
Yep.
And but the people who say, no, we shouldn't be drilling for any of that, it's sitting there, they're largely responsible for this problem. It's not the oil companies, I think that's going to be...
Although it is, you got to admit, it is pretty unseemly and pretty coincidental, interestingly coincidental, that when gas prices are the highest, that's when they seem to be making the most profits.
Well, when you sell a lot of stuff and there's huge demand for something, your
yep.
profit margin is going to go up. Apply that to anything. You
yep.
don't hear any complaints from the farmers, the corn producers. They're selling more than they can grow, and
right.
That's what happens. And you have high profits. But
hey, Don, I got to wrap it up. It's always
okay.
fun to have you here. Will you come back another day real soon?
Love to, Jim.
Thanks. We got a lot to talk about this year. It's an election year. Thanks, Don. Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.